We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
John chapter 17. This is the Lord's Prayer, as you all know, the one that Jesus prayed the night before that he was crucified, talking to his Father. If you'll look down, drop down with me, if you will, to about verse 20. This is Jesus' prayer the night before he was crucified. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word." That's you and I, not just his disciples that were living at that time, but all of us that have been saved from that time since, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I preached some on this one Wednesday night here a couple of weeks ago. And simply take for the text is Jesus as our great high priest. So I just want to share just a few more thoughts with you here this morning, not with the intent of repeating what I preached on that Wednesday night, but they were just so much in this. And so what is so a blessing is on the night, on the last night of the earthly life of the Lord Jesus here upon this earth, he is found serving as our great high priest, making intercessions with the Father. And so we all know that the Bible does say over in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 that he declares Jesus is our great high priest. And so we talked about that he prayed an upward focus. He prayed to the Father. He was talking to his Father and praying for you and I. And then he had an inward focus. Jesus turned his focus of his prayers inward and prayed for the mission to which that he had been called. He prayed about his work. In other words, every one of us knows here this morning that Jesus came into this world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so that we talked about that. We talked about why did Jesus pray such a prayer here that and we all know that Jesus' desire was to go to the cross. We all know that in order for us to be saved and salvation to be purchased, it was essential that Jesus would die on the cross. And so that was all that would satisfy the Father, and then he'd be glorified in being raised from the dead. So he prayed about that. And then we go over and he prayed not only an upward focus and an inward focus. Well, I talked about them the other night, so I'm not going to talk about them. He talked about an outward focus. Jesus turned his focus and prayed for those men who have given him their hearts and their lives, his disciples. He begins to pray for his disciples. First of all, he prayed to the Father. He prayed concerning his work, that Father would allow him to get to the cross, that the devil would, and we said this when we preached this, the devil tried everything that he could to keep Jesus from getting to the cross. He tried to kill him in the garden and all those kind of things, and Jesus knew he had to go to the cross. And then he prayed this outward focus here. Prayed for disciples. And so, and one of the things that I want to touch on here this morning, if you look back in verse 12 through verse 15, Jesus prayed for our protection. In other words, Jesus prayed that his disciples would be protected from the evil, or literally the evil one. And Jesus is merely praying here that we be given strength to face the task at hand, and that we be given strength to stand against the attacks that are sure to come to us by the devil. Now, I want to assure you this morning, as a child of God, if you're living for the Lord, you might as well expect attacks from the devil. You might as well expect that he, when you stand for the Lord, that he's going to come up against you. That he is going to try to destroy you, discourage you. He's going to try to do everything that he can to hinder you in your work for the Lord. So let's just face it here this morning. We that are saved, we that are Christians, we're in a battle. It's a battle here this morning for too many believers, and I say this hurt this morning. So many Christians today, the Christian life is a ball field and not a battlefield, and that is the sad shape of the church today. It's too much. The Christian life is just fun and games and taking or leaving, and they don't realize what a battle that we are engaged in. So when we learn that the devil hates us, can I tell you this morning that the devil hates you as a Christian? Even though you're not a Christian, he hates you. He wants to keep you from being saved so that you'll spend eternity in hell. Could I tell you this morning that the devil opposes us? Could I tell you this morning that the devil often attacks us? And I'm so grateful that I have the Lord's promise of his protection, and I have the Lord's promise for his presence. God, I will, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They protect me. And so we know, he said, I'll go with you always, even unto the end of the world. So I praise the Lord this morning. When the devil comes against the saints of God, that's you and me, the Lord takes up our defense. Yes. Ain't that wonderful?
Yes.
When the devil comes against you as a child of God this morning, and he's going to come against you, That is very evident and very plainly taught in the Word of God, that when he comes against you, that the Lord will take up your defense. If you want a scripture for that, go over and study the first two chapters of the book of Job. Before the devil can get to me as a Christian, he has to go through the Father and through the Son. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yes.
Before he can get to me, he's got to go through the Father, and he's got to go through the Son. If he could do that, then he'd have to go through the blood, and then he would be a saved devil. And we know that's not going to happen, don't we? We know absolutely that's not going to happen. So he roars as a lion. Do you not know that your adversary, the devil, that he goeth about seeking whom he may devour? He does not care who you are. He does not care what your reputation is, what your name is, what kind of position that you hold in the church, or what kind of position that you hold in the community.
Amen.
That does not matter to him. He is out, whether you're the preacher, the preacher's children, whether you're their grandchildren. Sometimes when a preacher's child falls or something, they say, I thought their daddy was a preacher. What difference does that make when you come up against the attacks of the devil? We're all human.
Yeah.
We're all, and so here, He roars, but he cannot touch the child of God. We are hidden in our Lord. We're hidden as Christians in Christ Jesus. So he prayed for our protection. If you look in verse 16 through 19, he prayed for our purity. Jesus asked the Father to set these men apart from the world by the word of God. The same applies to you and I today, that we would be set apart. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate and partake not in the unclean things of this world. His prayer is that you and I as Christians, that we might live our lives against the backdrop of the scriptures, that we might live lives pleasing to the Father. Now the Lord hasn't changed his mind. He still intends. Now you listen to me. He still intends for his people to live clean. He still intends for his people to live holy. He still intends for his people to live separated lives. As I've done said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. The purity that the Lord desires. It's not purity based on the opinions and rules of men, but the kind of lives, the purity that God expects from you and I is rather, it's a righteousness based squarely upon the Word of God. And so, His Word is truth. Not only is His Word is truth, it's that this right here, as I've said so many times, this is the divinely inspired book that I hold in my hand this morning. It's God's Word. And it's God's Word. As holy men were moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God, they penned it down. Come straight from the Lord. And so His Word is down, and we find the keys to living holy and righteous lives in the midst of a corrupt world. Listen, the world is corrupt around us, but we don't have to partake of it. Right. Don't you tell me that just because of the world, that's why you did it. I'm glad you don't have to do what the world does. You listen, the Lord says, I pray for their purity. I pray that they'll keep clean. I pray that they'll live holy lives. I pray for their protection. I pray for their purity. And then the last one, and this is probably the one that I wanted to focus on that I didn't cover at all, was the scripture that I read here the other night, and I read here this morning, verse 20 through verse 26. His prayer had an outward focus. Jesus turns his attention to those who would receive him down through the ages. That's you and I. In other words, think of it. On the eve of the crucifixion, with the weight of the world's sins upon him, beginning to press down upon his shoulder, Jesus took time to pray for you and me. I don't know whether that blesses you or not, but that blesses me. Blesses me to know with the weight of the sins of the world upon him, he remembered us. Amen. He remembered you. He remembered me. And he prayed for us. He prayed, if you'll look in verse 21 through verse 23, he prayed for our harmony. Jesus prayed that his followers might be marked by unity. That we might be marked by unity. His desire is that you and I as Christians, that we would be able to get along in front of the world. That's not a whole lot to ask of us, is it? Jesus simply asked that you and I as believers, that you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ, with the world looking upon us, and watching us and observing us and judging us, that they would see people that can get along with one another. And so he says here, now you know as well as I do that a lack of unity in the church is a bad witness to the world. When there's lack of unity, that's a horrible witness to the world. God's desire is that we learn to get along with one another. Amen. And then we have a oneness of heart that unites us regardless of the storms we're called upon to weather. So now it's obvious, and you all know this, and I know this, and I've experienced it for some years now. When you have two people, you're going to have two opinions. When you have 100 people, how many opinions are you going to have? You're going to have 100. So we understand that we're all, not always or all the time we're going to agree with one another. And the secret is being able to disagree without being disagreeable. Right. Why in the world can we not disagree, but don't, we don't have to be disagreeable? We don't have to, and that's what Jesus prayed that would happen to you and I. In other words, everything we do must be done with the view to maintaining unity within the body. Everything you do, you got to do it with the view that I want to do this, and by doing this, I want to maintain unity in the body. I want us all to get along. I want us all to, and there's no room for struggles within the body of Christ. Now notice the Lord's will for his people is to get along. And you can mark it down when there's disunity within the church. Someone is outside of the will of God.
That's right.
When there's disunity, you right mark this thing. When there's disunity in the church, someone is outside of the will of God. And that is very, very obvious. I don't think it takes a theologian to figure that out.
Right.
That when there's disunity, somebody is not in the Lord's will. Somebody, so why is unity so important in the church? Preacher, why is that? Why can't we just fuss and growl and spat and get along? And if we don't like one another, just take off and go somewhere else and get over at that other church and just talk about them over at Union Temple like they're dogs and all those guys. Why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? Why is it so important to maintain unity? And so So that's a good question. And the reason it is so important is that we maintain unity is because we as Christians, we are living advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you profess to be a Christian, the world looks at you and says, right there is what a Christian is. And you're fighting and growling and fussing and can't get along. Mad at everybody? Listen, when the world sees the people of God, they either see the presence of the Lord or they see the presence of strife. And so where there's strife, there is confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. Is that not right? God is not the author of confusion. God's not in it if there's confusion. Therefore, strife and trouble in the house of God is never his will. Why can't we get along? You say, preacher, you think there's some trouble? No. No, I didn't get up here with the intent to beat somebody over the head, because I don't know. But I'm just saying I know how the devil is. I'm just saying I know how it has been in times past. How that the devil can get somebody to get a little bird under their saddle, and they get all discombobulated and all those kind of things. And so Jesus said on the night, if he's prayed this prayer on the night before he was going to die, this must be very important to him. This must be real important to him, that his people can get along, that we can have unity. And so he says, he prays here for unity. Then he prayed for our homecoming. Look in verse 24. Jesus said that his will is for all of his followers to be with him in heaven, where they can behold and share in his glory. Jesus' will is one day that every one of us sitting here this morning will be with him. He wants every one of us there. And in the New Testament, there's two words that are translated to will. There one is theelo, T-H-E-L-O. And that word to will means, it means to purpose. It's used for the will of God, which is unalterable and firmly fixed. It's the will of God, and it'll come to pass. That's what that one word. And you always got to remember that when the Bible was written, that it was written, the New Testament was written in Greek and was translated into English. And you always got to know that in the Greek they had words like philo to mean different than just the word to will like we do. So when it transferred into English, they just put everything, both words, they just put it to will. And so that's why it's so important sometimes to know a little bit of Greek. And I don't know any Greek. I'm not saying that I do. I'm just saying I know where to find it at. So then there's a second word, which means to will. B-O-U-L-O-M-A-I. Which means to have a wish or desire about something. This word is used of God's desire that may or may not come to pass, depending upon the actions of others. What are you talking about? For instance, it's not God's wish that any should perish. God's wish is not for anybody to perish. But what does that wish depend on? For that wish to be realized, men must receive Christ. You understand what I'm saying? There's some things that it's God's will and it's going to happen. And there's some things it's God's wish that would happen, but it depends upon what people does. God's will that none should perish, but that all could come to repentance. But that will only happen if man chooses to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, theo is the word used here. Jesus is declaring here, I'm declaring that it's my purpose that everyone who receives me will be with me in heaven and will behold my glory. In other words, he would use the word philo, and he said, that's the will of God. It's unalterable. You can't change it. So he said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you're going to heaven. I sort of like that. He said, it's the will of God. If you believe on Jesus, you've been born again, you've been saved, you're going to heaven. And so he prayed for our hearts. As Jesus brought his prayer to a close, he took a minute that he would be filled, that we would be filled with his love. His desire is that his people would be characterized by a life of love one for the other. This is the kind of love is God's demand for his children. Love one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm not going to read it. You all know what it is. In fact, Jesus declares that our mutual love would be a sign to the world that we're genuine of the Lord. It shall be a sign unto the world that you love one another, that you're my children. This is a love that cannot be duplicated in the world. But it's produced by God in the hearts of every born-again child of God. Who but God could produce within us a love for people who have differing backgrounds, for different social and financial standings, of various race and creed? None of these things matter. We ought to have love for these people. I just want to stop right here and say this. And I probably shouldn't say it, but the Lord recalled it to my attention, and I'm going to say it. Hope that it's okay. But this couple, and it don't matter. It don't matter that they go to the church, the big church downtown. That don't matter. That I'm not going against big churches. I love big churches. I wish I had a big church. But they go where I know the Word of God is taught. They go to where I know that they're a good church. and they teach their people the right thing. And Trey plays on a basketball team, and eight of them are white people, two of them are African Americans. So this boy of this parents that attends the big church downtown invited everyone on the ball team to the birthday party of their son except the two African Americans. And with credit to Mandy, Mandy said, "Trey, you're not going." He said, "I don't want to go if they're going to invite them." That was credit for Trey. And one of the little African American boys said, knowing that this people were great church attenders and very big in the church, said, "I don't believe Jesus would be pleased with that." So everything we do, you may not think it matters out here in your social events, and you may not think it matters out here in the school or at your place of work, how you treat people of different races and colors and backgrounds and all those kind of things. But listen, it does matter. And Jesus said, you have this love no matter who they are. We must ever strive to see that we're indeed characterized by genuine godly love. Let me just remind you that Jesus' prayers are always heard, and they're always answered. The question remains here is, are they being fulfilled in your life? Let me ask you the question this morning. Are you saved? Most important question that will ever be asked you in this world. Are you saved? If you got that question answered yes, then that's the main thing. It's God's desire that you come to know Him. Is there unity in the church? It's His desire that there be unity in the church. Maybe you're here and nobody don't even know that you're holding some kind of a grudge, or you're holding some kind of a hatred, or you're holding some kind of ill will towards somebody, and it's just destroying you as a Christian. You've lost your joy. You've lost your happiness. Why don't you do something about that? I can promise you upon the Word of God, if I know anything about the Word of God, you will never be happy as a Christian as long as you hold a grudge in your heart towards somebody. You can read all the Bible you want to, attend all the church you want to, and do all you want to. But until you make things right with one another, you'll never, never have joy like God wants you to have it. Are you walking in love, one to another? That's His prayer for us.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.